Welcome to the weekly Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report, brought to you on Lakes Country 104.1 all season long. Hosted by Jason Sheehan and Ed Gakely, as they talk to different guests each week. Tune in to hear what's biting, how to catch them, and great stories from the lake. Sponsored by the Pines of Cabotogama. They can't wait to see you on the lake. So let's jump into it.
Good day, Lake Cabotogama and Voyageurs National Park. This is Ed Gakely here, and I have Jason Sheehan, the owner and operator of Pines of Cabotogama. And this is the Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report. How are you doing today, Jason?
Oh, fabulous, Ed. Thanks for having me back. Just living the dream here up at Cab.
You know, you really are. And we did a little pre-conversation here before the show, but how was your 4th of July weekend? How did everything play out up there?
Oh, wonderfully. You know, we had a full house of guests. We had that storm coming through late Friday, so we anticipated that was going to come through. Pulled some of our activities forward onto the 3rd, so we were able to get off our fireworks show and have that with our guests on the 3rd, and made the best of the, you know, the first portion of the day there on the 4th before that nasty weather came through.
Yeah, that was crazy. And hey, were you able to pull off the boat parade? Did you guys get that rescheduled?
Yeah, we were able to get the boat parade off. They pulled it forward a couple of hours on Friday on the 4th, and we were able to get through that. It was right at the tail end of the parade when the storms came through.
Gotcha. So I was out fishing on Rainy Lake in Voyageurs, well, close to Voyageurs National Park in Black Bay with Dave Peterson, and we were fortunate enough to limit on crappie and walleye. And then as I was sitting on the bridge to go back to Canada, that storm came through. And I'll tell you, as I grew up in the southern states, and it was like a Mississippi sideways rainstorm. It was crazy, crazy. We did get tornado warnings up here. I hope all the people got off the lake safely. We were concerned when we saw the weather rolling in and we were putting the boat onto the trailer, and there were people that were 20 minutes out that where we had passed and they were still going out. So hopefully they found an island or something and were able to hunker down, because that came up pretty quick. So what's going on this week? Who are you talking to? And let's hear a little bit about your interview.
Yeah, this week I had the pleasure of having Trent Snyder back on the show. Met with Trent in late May. He was on the show and talked a little bit about the spawn fishing at that time, and now we get to hear from his perspective, approach to the summertime fishing walleyes and where they're moving off to. Presentation even talks a little bit about, at the beginning of the interview, talked a little bit about the weather that came through, how the lake responds, and really I learned a lot about how to approach that when trying to target those Lake Cabotogama walleye.
Which is, you know, I mean, that local knowledge is what we were just talking about, these three different lakes that I'm speaking about, Lake of the Woods, Rainy Lake, and Lake Cabotogama. Different approaches, different lakes. Some of it coincides with each other. Other approaches are completely different, just depending on the water. And same here, learning a lot and love listening to these local guides that have been doing it for so long. And to be honest with you, it's great that they're passing that knowledge on and sharing their love of the lake and fishing, which I really, really appreciate as well.
Yeah, I'm learning a tremendous amount myself. You know, it's interesting to hear the insight, the experience, and the wisdom. He's had so much wisdom from over the years of what to expect. We also tap a little bit into the mayfly hatch and the extended nature this year. It's a little different than what you would expect in a typical mayfly hatch.
So, and that affects the lake and what you're going to use for bait, and whether you switch to leeches or, you know, stick with the minnows. So all those tips really, really helpful. Looking forward to it. What's happening this week at the Pines of Cabotogama?
Oh, we're busy as usual. We're in the thick of it now. Lots of guests arriving and departing on a daily basis. Keeping everybody happy. Folks are taking tours and visiting all the highlights of the national park, whether it be Ellsworth, Kettle Falls, I.W. Stevens, Hoist Bay, the visitor centers. Just lots going on. Having a wonderful time getting to know everybody, and have a lot of fishing guides coming in and out of the resort, taking our guests out and coming back with nice meals for at the end of the day.
That's fantastic. Well, this is Jason Sheehan, owner and operator of the Pines of Cabotogama, Ed Gakely, 104.1 Lakes Country, and this is the Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report, so let's jump into it.
Let's jump in, Ed.
Right on.
Welcome back to the Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report, your weekly guide to what's biting and what's happening across one of Minnesota's most iconic lakes, nestled in Voyageurs National Park. I'm your host, Jason Sheehan. Each week, we check in with local guides, anglers, and community members to bring you the latest fishing conditions, helpful tips, and stories from around the lake. Whether you're here to plan your next trip or just love staying connected to the water, let's jump into it. We're sitting here on the front lawn of the Pines of Cabotogama, and this week I'm joined by Trent Snyder of Catch Fish Here. Trent's a fishing guide here at Cabotogama and was on the report back in late May, and we most recently heard from his son, Wiley. Welcome back to the report, Trent.
Thank you, Jason. Nice to be out here this morning.
Yeah.
After the nice rain we got last night, I think we're good now.
Yeah, well, we, you know, jump into that. So, you know, we've had a couple of storms come through the past few days. I'm imagining that shook some stuff up here. You know, how do you expect the lake to respond?
Well, you know, in years past, a nice rain doesn't hurt typically the bite. The lightning and thunder is, if it does anything, it shuts it down or quietens it up quite a bit. And we're finding right now it has slowed a little bit, but Cabotogama has such a vast variety of opportunities with depths and rocks and mud and weeds. That you can find them still. You got to just do a little bit more research, and you might have to hit a few more spots. You have to be pretty flexible and not be set in, you know, the ways that you used to fish if you were here in June and you come back, or you just got to understand that there might be a little bit more versatility to fishing this time of the year. So you got to be a little bit more creative and kind of, you know, look at different options. So give you an example, after we have a rainstorm, or storms like we've had, I'll typically look for more flowing water. So, you know, I may look for the creek inlets or the water outs. I might try more of the weed lines, and I may switch from, you know, if we're using minnows right now, we've been using a lot of leeches, but after good rains like this, I'll probably switch to maybe more crawlers, because as just water flows, it pushes in worms and crawlers from the forestry, and fish typically start feeding like that. So, but we, you know, here's the thing, fish still have to eat. And mm-hmm. So no matter how you cut it, you might find it in an 8-hour day if you're out fishing, or a 10-hour day, you might find the window a little bit different. It might not be an all day bite from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed. You might find the bite comes on a little bit later because they fed through the night, or because they've fed early in the morning or mid-afternoon. So you just kind of put in your time, and you got to bounce around a little bit more. When you find fish, my theory has always been, don't leave fish to find fish. So if you find fish and you're getting one or two, stick it out. You're going to find that it's probably going to be more productive than catching one or two and then not catching anything for a half hour and saying, let's move. And you find out that really it probably didn't pay off, because you're burning more time up running around trying to find fish. And
it's tempting. You're like, oh, it's good here. Maybe it's better someplace. Yeah. Let's try. Oh, we've got this spot. I got this other one, and I think it might be better.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And even as guides, we have a tendency. We want the instant. We want the constant, you know, activity. But the reality is sometimes you just got to be a little bit more patient and set them out and you know, you'll get them to turn on. I can tell you this here, if you're marking fish, they're just probably not, if they're not feeding there, they're not feeding anywhere. So mm-hmm. you're better off probably just setting it through a little bit longer and being a little bit more patient and understanding that we are in the, as fishermen call it, the dog days of summer, which it gets a little bit harder. However, I would rather be in the dog days of summer on Lake Cabotogama than almost any other lake in the state, because this lake still produces in the hot summer sunny days, whereas a lot of lakes, they just, when they say it shuts down, it shuts down. Here, it's still the trickle effect. You always seem to find a bite.
Great. So the 4th of July, we get a lot of energy at Cab. You know, there's a lot of families. Of course, we fight some fireworks and fishing. How was the holiday on the water this year for you?
It was excellent. You know, the in years past, I have always said that my favorite week to fish is the 4th of July week. The mayflies are popping, and this year it's been a little different this year. They came a little early, and it's not been a rapid dump of mayflies. It seems like it's just kind of a slow pop of mayflies, which they're coming out from the bottom of the lake. They're coming to the top, hatching at the water. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, the feeding frenzy is wild. Some of the best fishing you could ask for. We had that about a week ago, just before the 4th happened. We were okay. Still getting them all the way up until the 4th of July. And of course, the 4th of July, I think it was that day that we had the bad storms come through.
Yeah, it was.
And so that kind of ended the evening type of bite. But it still was really productive. And I actually was fishing more bobbers and lindies on the reef that particular day and the day before. They're still hitting on the reefs. They're still hitting on the leeches and that sort of thing. But you might find them a little bit deeper now. We were getting them in 12, 13 feet of water. Now we're moving into the 18 to 20 feet of water. So they go up and down them reefs, and you just kind of got to follow them. That storms have an effect on them that typically drives them a little deeper.
Oh, okay.
However, after a good rainstorm, 8-10 hours later, they're back in their normal structure this time of the year, which is mid reefs, anywhere from 12 to 20 feet. You're going to find them kind of pushing up and down there all the time. And the bass are there as well. So if people that like to bass fish, and I imagine you probably asked me about that, but you want to get some smallmouth bass, get on top of them rock piles right now in that 10, 12 feet of water,
okay.
Drop some tubes down, some Ned rigs, stuff like that. And you'll find a few smallmouth right now on the top.
Now, come back to the mayflies a little bit, because in comparison to previous years, and you kind of touched on this, you said it's been a slow trickle, but it seems like it's been lighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been a weak mayfly hatch this
year.
Yeah,
I would agree with you. Jason, the interesting thing on that is I can't tell if it's been necessarily a weaker mayfly hatch or if it's just been spread out longer, because okay. Normally mayfly is like a 4 or 5 day deal, yeah. and you can't, they're thicker than thick out yeah. here. And now it seems like I've been looking at these mayfly hatch for about the last 8 to 10 days. And I can remember 10 days ago, there was 5,000 of them on my dock. And I was thinking to myself, my goodness, these mayflies are all over the place. This is it. And it's early. And then, as late as yesterday, I'm finding them there again.
This morning, cleaning, wiping off stuff.
Yeah. So it's like, I just wonder if it's just spread out a little bit longer, or indeed if it is just a lighter mayfly hatch. And we run through that from time to time. This year here seems to be one of those years where it's just not as many that we're seeing, or again, it's just taking a lot longer for them to get through their season.
I want to come back. You mentioned the reefs. I've seen a lot of folks on the flats and out in the humps.
Yeah.
A little bit lately, and in the middle of the lake. It's definitely different than earlier in the season when you're talking, pre-spawn, spawn, things like that. So
yeah.
is this, midsummer activity, the fish are moving out into those humps and yeah. flats and areas?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And they do this for a while, and then they will start to transition back towards the bays and the rock points off of island points and stuff. Right now, I would primarily stay focused on the reefs. That are out on the lake. I will say they are starting to transition a little bit. And I will also say spinners are starting to work along the weed lines. Mm. I tell you, I find more success fishing spinners with overcast skies around islands. Anywhere you can find a nice flat that you can pull and cover more ground. When fishing slows down, the nice thing about the spinner bite is you can cover more territory. They spread out a little bit.
Okay.
And so you can cover more territory whenever you have that opportunity. You also cover more ground. You can run across if you're running your graph the same time you're doing the spinners. You'll run across your graph. You'll run across a lot of marks or a lot of fish. If you run across that, you might pull up and anchor there and try bobber fishing that area, because you'll find them in pods. But my go-to right now, by far, every morning. I wake up, I go on a guide trip. My go-to is I'm going to hit the reefs. I'm going to look for the humps, the mid-lake humps. Mm-hmm. I'm going to check the tops of them, and I'm going to work my way deeper. And whenever I can find them, I'm going to drop down a lindy and a leech, or a lindy and a night crawler. And that's how I'm going to start my day. I may end up switching to pulling spinners, but right now I would still target the reefs and the humps,
okay.
the rock piles. And you might have to hit a few more. You might not find them in one particular spot. If you go to one spot and you don't find them there, don't give up. Spend a little bit more time. Hit 3 or 4 of these spots, and you're probably going to find them. Fish still swim, so they're going to move around, and they're going to follow the bait fish, and maybe the bait fish move to a different area.
Okay.
Or the, the bait in general. So just constantly be looking and be doing a little bit of searching like that there. Now, if I do that for 2 or 3 hours and I'm not finding fish, you know, you may find one here or one there, I'll still fish that one or two. I mean, your radar, your sonar can't tell you how many fish are down there. It's a general guide. If you mark one or two, I really am a firm believer in trying it, because right now, again, the action's just slowed down a little bit, and them fish may be circling a bigger area and they come through. So don't give up on that. And I would certainly say focus on that. If that doesn't work, then go to the spinners. Try pulling spinners around the weed lines. I also know pitching jigs with little crawlers on them shallow is sometimes a good bite right now. They got to be there. So just, you know, just you've got to dig into your tackle box and be a little bit more versatile and find out what's the best place to, what's the best action right now or for that particular moment.
Right. This is going to sound unusual, and it's switching gears a little bit here, but it's the truth. I often get asked by guests, and I'm just looking for your advice on this, what thoughts you can give, about summer crappie. I know this is not a big topic here on this lake, but I have no direction. I'm uncertain in direction to give guests. And there are some guests that come in there, I want to take my kids out and we want to go for a crappie. I'm thinking deep this time of year, but I'm wondering if you have any advice you can share.
That's really a hard one to answer. I'm not really focused on crappies on this lake. Like you said, it's not a destination crappie lake. However, if somebody really wants to try to get crappies, your best bet is to look deep and to look along rock slides, rock edges off the deep ends. However, I would tell you, you're probably burning a lot of energy up looking for them. You'd be better off you'd be better off trying to find some reefs with some perch on it than you would be crappies. They are really spread out. They're not local in one location. They're out of their spawning pattern. In the spring, when they go into their spawning pattern, you'll find them thick along the weeds and in the weeds. Great fishing in the springtime if you want to focus on crappies. But Cabotogama is so massive in size, and it's not like we are, you know, a southern lake. When I say southern lake, I'm talking Louisiana southern lake, where that's our main bread and butter is crappie. So it's hard to get them in the hot of the summer. It's really hard to focus. And if you know, Jason, I would just tell you, if your customers are asking about it, I wouldn't tell them not to try it, but I would just tell them to understand that they're going to put in a lot of time and maybe not find them at all during the day, because they are moving. They're not bunched up. They're, you know, in the fall, they go deeper. They'll find them along the trees that are underwater trees. They'll go deeper. They'll be congregated together, and you'll find 50, 60, 100 of them in a group. But in the summertime up here, they are this massive lake, and they are covering the whole thing. Even Rainy Lake, which is a notoriously much better crappie lake, they even struggle in the summertime up there. Most of the guides will say, you know, that's a spring or a fall time bite.
Well, before we wrap up, since the last time I had you on the report, I've introduced the CAB questionnaire. Not sure if you heard of this.
I've seen that. I heard it from Wiley. I'm like, I wonder if I'm going to get 10 questions.
You're going to get it.
Well, there we go. Okay.
This is my opportunity to get to know my guests a little bit better. So 10 quick questions. Just tell us the first thing that comes to mind. Here we go. Favorite time of day on the lake?
I'm going to say 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock?
Yeah, morning. I start normally earlier than that. I just think 8 o'clock is the best time.
All right. You got one lure. Rest of your life, what's it going to be?
I'm going to go with what Wally Wiley said. It's going to be a jig. That's my go-to.
Very good. You're having shore lunch. What's your favorite side dish?
I'm going to probably say he likes the hash browns. I think I like the baked beans.
I'm with you. Those are mine. Nobody said the baked beans.
I got to have the baked beans. How do you do a shore lunch with not having the baked beans?
Yeah, love it. Early spring or late fall fishing?
I would go with late fall.
Late fall?
Yeah, I like the variety. We can go out and get your limit of walleyes, and then we can go pound on some crappies and As much as I love to fish walleye, there's nothing better than catching a crappie on a light rig, you know, little bitty jig and a ultra light rod and reel and watching them boogers fight. And they're fun to catch. So I like the variety, crappie, walleye, and you get that in the late fall more consistent.
Well, see, that's a tidbit of wisdom there. You know, I ask the younger guys and they're like, they're clamoring all winter long for that spring bite.
Yeah.
I can't wait to get out. I love the spring.
Yeah. It's fun. I mean, and your first question is, what's the best time? What's your favorite time? I should have answered whenever the walleyes are biting. So whatever time of the day that happens. But the in the springtime, it's fun to do that. But I think because we are so focused on walleye fishing as guides, most of the guides up here, as you know, are walleye guys.
Oh, yeah.
And because we are so focused on the walleye, it's almost like when crappie season comes along for us, it's almost like getting that chocolate chip ice cream cone at the end of the meal, you know? Yeah. Ooh, I just get to catch my crappies now. And it's fun. So I love the fall for that particular reason.
One item in your tackle box, it shouldn't be there.
Ah, boy, you know, I'm pretty clean. My tackle box, one item in my tackle box, you know, Wiley said cigars. I don't ever smoke a cigar, so I can't say cigars. One item in my tackle box that shouldn't be there. Jason, I don't know if I've got, if it's in my tackle box, it's there for a reason.
All right, that's fair. One song that must be on your boating playlist.
Probably REO Speedin' and Riding the Storm Out.
Oh, I like it. That's appropriate.
I'm an REO Speedwagon guy, so that tells you my age too.
Love it. What's the best wildlife sighting you've had on the lake?
I actually saw a moose.
Oh, you had?
Yeah, I was. Which is not real common up here,
oh,
as you know. We've got them, but it's just not common.
Very
and
rare.
2 years ago, I pulled into Slutinsky Bay, and I actually was on a guide trip there. And it was mid-September, and this beautiful bull moose was walking across the bay from one point to another, and it is amazing. You found out how deep that water is, and you also found out how well them things can move through the water. And I didn't want to do too much approaching on it, but I got fairly close, and he just was nonchalantly walking across, and that was exciting. I see a lot of bear and you see wolves. This year it was really cool. I had a guide trip and I was on the North Shore, and I seen a little mama fox laying on the top of a great big bluff rock, and she had four little babies.
Oh, wow.
And she nestled in. You could barely see her. She blended in right in the moss that was on top of the rocks, and these little babies were running around. She let me get all the way to the shoreline. I got some pictures of her, and the babies came right down to the water.
Oh, wow.
And they were drinking out of the water and splashing and playing in it. That was pretty awesome.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. But the moose was, you know, that's maybe a once-in-a-lifetime deal.
Yeah,
you know, you don't see that very often.
I've only caught him on our trail camera. That's it. I've never seen him in person.
Yeah. Oh, no kidding. Up behind. Wow.
Yeah, back
that's
here.
Awesome.
Yep. I caught one running back through there. Yeah.
That is neat, though. That's cool when you see that, isn't it? It
oh,
lights
yeah.
you up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What's the worst snack on a boat?
Bananas.
All right. I kind of had a
There's absolutely, positively no bananas in my boat.
Scientific fact.
What's the sign? It's a sign. I had a lady that was out on the boat with me, actually from the resort here. I think I guide her again from here in another week or so. And she was out on the boat and we were sitting there fishing. And we were actually doing pretty good. We just had gone out to the main center reef. And she pulls out a banana. I said, what in the world you got there? I said, you got to get that down right now. You got to eat that. And she's like, well, what am I going to do with the pill? I said, I don't eat the pill too, whatever. We got to get that off this boat. So, yeah, no bananas in my boat.
Fair answer. One word to describe a pipe.
Wiley says not in my boat.
Yeah.
I tell you, I got a funny story with that. I would say one word to describe a northern is slimy.
Yeah.
I would just say slimy. That would probably be the word. I was fishing. I had Wiley had his boat down in the shop for a while here a couple years ago, and I had a rule, and my rule was no pikes in my boat. No pikes in my boat.
Yeah.
And it's just a joke because I'm obviously not going to turn down a northern. And Wiley sends me a text picture. He was using my boat that particular day when his boat was down. And I said, Wiley, you know the rule, no pike in my boat. He goes, okay. And so about 2 hours later, I get a picture of Wiley and his customer, and his customer had caught a 42-inch northern. And all the picture said, he's holding it up in my boat, and all the picture said was, all it was a picture of the young man holding this big northern, and it said below in a text, sorry about the boat. Which I obviously knew it was going to happen, but yeah. I thought it was a cute idea because he knew Dad didn't want northern in his boat, but he was like, I got sorry about the boat. And I'm like, that was great. No, they're just a little slimy. A lot of people love fishing northern though.
Oh yeah,
that's a big thing, and that may be one of the biggest requests that I get, is can we find northern? And I don't target them well enough to do that. Now in the fall it's a little different, you know, we do get a few more of them in the fall and look for them, but I'm not a big northern fisherman, so yeah.
We get guests that come up here and they're like, I'm looking for the 40-inch.
Yeah, that's what they 45. Want. Yeah, yeah. It happened to me a couple years ago pulling spinners. We caught back to back 40, a 38 and a 42-inch northern while we were fishing for walleye.
Wow.
So we get them from time to time, but I don't target them. You know, if somebody really wants to go bad, I'll take them out and let them know that that's just not my forte.
Mm-hmm. Last question, one word. What does CAB mean to you?
Same thing as Wiley said, home.
Home.
This is home. It's home. Yeah. Can't imagine being anywhere else in my life.
Excellent.
And when I die, I want to be buried or spread ashes across the lake. Or I want to have a little tombstone underneath a pine tree, sitting on the shores of Cabotogama. Yeah. That would be just beautiful.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's home.
Trent, for somebody thinking about booking a guiding trip with you, can you remind us how they should get in touch with you?
Yep. Go to catchfishhere.com or they can give me a call on my cell phone. It's 218-839-6844. Or go to catchfishhere.com and get in on the fun.
Excellent. That's a wrap on this week's Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report. Trent, thank you for joining us again and sharing your insights. It's always a pleasure speaking with you. And thanks for everything that you do for making fishing Cabotogama such a special experience.
Well, I appreciate it, Jason. It's nice having me on. Nice for you to have me on the show, and always appreciate the trips that I get from here as well. You guys do a fantastic job, and man, it's looking good.
Yeah, it is looking good. For our listeners, don't forget to subscribe and share with fellow lake lovers. For more updates, lodging, and guiding experiences, visit thepinescab.com. Until next time, tight lines and be well.
That's your weekly Lake Cabotogama Fishing and Recreation Report, brought to you each week right here on Lakes Country 104.1 with the Pines of Cabotogama with Jason Sheehan and Ed Gakely. We look forward to seeing you on the water.